welcome to another episode of Adoption Adventures. Thank you very much for listening. So this week we are continuing. This is part three of three of the subject of schools. Okay, so we are continuing this subject. So those of you that haven't listened to the previous two, I would definitely stop the podcast, go back, listen to the previous two. Otherwise, this just won't make any sense. Well, it will, but, you know, let's think about it logically. So, in the previous two episodes, we've talked about little dude going from his foster placement into a primary school that we'd selected, the sort of the highs and lows of that placement. Then, 2 years later, us deciding that it was time for him to move on to a different primary school because of the concerns that we had, that we had raised and we didn't feel was being listened to. We then talked on about the sort of the ensuing 2 years at the next primary school and how incredibly different that was, and the sort of the amazing experience that we received there. Then we look in today's episode at senior school. Now, as you can imagine, when it came to picking a senior school, we had quite a few apprehensions. Is this one the right school? Is that? Are they looking at this? Are they looking at that? I mentioned in the last episode that there was a selection process to go to the school that we chose, and that little dude was sort of, they worked hard to get him in. Like, we had a lot of support helping him to get into that school, which was really, really great. So we spent some time with the new prospective school prior to little dude starting there, and we explained to them some of his background. We didn't give much information, we just explained a little bit, and we said, you know, any information that you feel that you need, let's discuss it. They talked to us about what their intention was with the PPP fund. Their intention was to sort of hold that back and use it for any added experiences that he wanted. So if he wanted music lessons, this could be taken out of that budget. If there were educational trips, again, could be used, we could use the budget. If there was any counselling required, all things like that. Really, really positive ideas, really positive suggestions. So all looked really, really good. They had a pastoral team. They talked to us and they said, you know, transitions from sort of primary school, where they're the top of the school, to senior school, where they are indeed the bottom of the school. It can be a really difficult thing. Transitions for adopted children can be difficult anyway. So they've had some experience of working with looked after children, which was really, really good to hear. When little dude started, everything seemed quite good, moving along quite nicely. We then established quite quickly just how strict this particular school is, and how sort of how firm they are on certain rules, certain things that we wouldn't necessarily would have experienced when we were at school, but we were quite happy with listening to their ideas. One thing that this particular school has is it's like a sanctions card. So you're allowed five sanctions, five mishaps, and each time that you have one of these mishaps, now that can be for not having the right equipment, it could be for your uniform not looking right, not doing your homework, things like that, you would then get a signature. If you reach five signatures in a half term, you then get a detention. So we found that little dude was getting sort of signatures relatively regular, but it was for real sort of what we consider menial things. So he would forget a book and he would get a signature for it. One time he walked down the corridor and his shirt was untucked. And instead of the teacher saying, "Oh, can you tuck in your shirt, he had a signature. So it was for some real sort of silly things. Now, what we also found was he was getting signatures for talking when he should have been listening, for not handing homework and things like that. Now, since the day that he moved in, and I believe for the rest of my life, whenever I hear about feedback about little dude, one thing I will guarantee that I'm going to hear is, great student, lovely to have in the class, really does need to learn when to be quiet, not to call out, and to just listen. It's just him. We've worked really, really hard to try and sort of help him along that, understand that he can't do certain things, but not much success coming out of that. He's changed and he's improved, but that's one of those, I feel this could be a lifelong battle for him. And again, I think that comes back down to his attachment style and the attachment concerns that he has when he's in the classroom. Now, we found that there was, excuse the interruption, we found that there were sort of signatures and indeed detentions coming out far too quickly, and indeed what was going to happen was little dude was going to eventually, or quite quickly, generate a sort of a reputation for being the naughty kid. So we wanted to stamp that out rather quickly. And we went in, or I went in to meet the head of year, and this guy had spent some time in the army, and I was told that he was quite a beefy guy, quite intimidating, but that they all, not necessarily to his face, but they all called him Sergeant, and his surname, so we'll call him Sergeant B. And I sort of came up with a game plan and a decision on how I was going to sort of work with this guy. I met him, and he was a really nice guy. He is a really nice guy. I met with him, and I spoke with him about sort of little dude, and I said, you know, I think it's really important that actually you understand who it is that you're working with. You've not been told little dude's story. I think actually it's important that you understand it. We then spent some time sort of discussing little dude's background and discussed, you know, some of the sort of struggles that he may have gone through. And this teacher, Sergeant B, who was quite a big burly guy, quite a, sort of quite a character, quite a strong character, he heard little dude's story and he respected that actually this was an awful lot for one person to take on. And he got quite emotional about the story. It wasn't my intention, but my intention was to ensure that little dude was given the right level playing field to do what he needed to do. And this teacher then said, you know, I'm going to make sure, he said, there's been a lot of people that have let this young man down. I'm going to make sure that we're not one of them. And certainly for the first year, we were really, really impressed. They then really sort of ramped things up, put some things in place, some counselling, some different methods to help him through different sort of social issues and things like that. And they worked really, really hard to help him navigate that part of his life, which was really positive to see. At the end of that year, we wrote a letter of commendation to Sergeant B, to say, you know, the work that you've done is incredible. It's been a great sort of first start. then something happened in year eight, and I'm going to say that there was a number of conversations that were had that just led to being a terrible catalyst. It was too many people, us included, talked to Little Dude about how year eight didn't, that there was nothing significant that happened in year eight. You didn't pick your options, you weren't taking big exams, you'd started in the school, so you knew your school, so there was nothing massive, nothing significant occurring in this year. Little Dude took that to the complete literal. So what we found was, in year eight, Little Dude really went off the wires. He lost all interest in his studies. He pushed back against as many teachers as he could. He stopped doing homework and he stopped telling us that he had homework. He was getting detentions and he wasn't telling us that he had detentions. So we were starting to see some really poor behaviour coming forward. And unfortunately, that led to sort of certain things breaking down, which was really, really difficult to see. And we did some work, and, you know, I kept on speaking with the school and saying, you know, this is what we're trying, can we help, can we support, you know, what else can we do? And the dialogue was open, and there was a good conversation, but it just wasn't progressing, we wasn't getting anywhere with it. We survived, and then we got to year nine, at which point Little Dude acknowledged that he had taken his foot off the pedal quite considerably. At this stage, obviously, puberty's kicking in, so all kinds of changes are happening, the brain's developing again at a rapid rate, you know. Everything, all of that is going all haywire. The transitions, this is when he started to ask some more questions about birth family. So all of these things are going through his brain, plus he's got to learn. And it's a tough old time for any human, not just sort of adopted children. It's a tough old time. And he accepted that he hadn't done as well as he could have in year eight, and he needed to work that much harder for year nine. He did start to knuckle down, but by this stage he'd created a reputation, and the teachers, when they interacted with him, they were interacting with the year eight version of him. They weren't aware of the sort of the some of the struggles and the challenges. Instead, they just saw the difficult kid. And that isn't a dig at these teachers. I don't envy them. I find sort of senior school teachers, that's a really difficult time, because they're in the situation of, and I hasten to add that this is all teachers, all good teachers, you know, but they've got to learn the ins and outs of all of these children. If in a senior school, if you've got a class of 30, but you've got six sessions of that in a day, it's an awful lot of children that you've got to learn inside out and back to front, and understand, oh, if I do this one with that one, it makes them learn better. That's really hard. That's a hard task for one teacher, you know, just teaching one class of 30, let alone a teacher teaching six classes of 30. It's a tough request, and I understand why it was not, why Little Dude was not always their main priority. I get that. But what we saw was, we saw things breaking down, and we saw the communication starting to fall. This particular school, quite antiquated with their system, so they refused to send any emails. They outright refused to send any electronic communication unless it's a promotion for some of their events. So everything has to be in letter format. They have a system in place whereby if the student gets a after school detention, what will then happen is they have a slip that they have to bring home to get the parents to sign. And then, again, I apologise for the continued interruptions. You listeners at home are unaware that I am currently being bitten and attacked by the puppy. She feels that she has not made a big enough guest appearance on the show, so she wants to get involved. So my apologies, but those of you that follow us on social media, you've seen her. She's adorable, so it's all right. Coming back from that sidebar. So pupils will get these slips. They bring them home. Parents have got to sign them. They then take them back, and then it's sort of confirmation. I know that there is this detention. We found that little dude found it impossible to hand us that slip. It was just not physically possible to do that. And as a result, he would then not attend the after-school detention. As a result of that, he would then have an escalated detention, and they would then send a letter home to tell us about it. The painstaking moment of that is the second I would get the letter, we would then obviously really, really tell little dude off. But then we would put that detention in the diary, and there was one or two occasions whereby he phoned me and said, "Oh, I'm just on my way home." I'm like, "No, you have a detention, get back, you're in this classroom, go." And we resolved it and stopped it being a problem. So at this stage, I started talking to the head of year. I said, "You know, can we, this system of sending home this slip of paper, it's just not working. Can we change it?" And they said, "No, this is the system that we have in place for everyone." And I said, "But what you have to understand is this piece of paper, for our little dude, it represents shame. For him to carry this piece of paper around saying, 'I've been bad,' and then to bring that home to us and say, 'Can you sign this piece of paper that tells, that reminds you that I'm bad?' I said, 'It's just not viable.' I said, 'If you pick up the phone or if you email me, I will get him to this appointment, to this detention. I've got no problem with that, but you can't keep escalating. It's just not fair." They refused, unfortunately. Then there was a notification about an education trip coming up, and we said, "Right, this is great. Can you use his PPP budget?" And the teachers, the head of year then came back and said, "Actually, little dude's behaviour has been that poor. He's scored too many behaviour points that actually we don't think that he deserves the trip. And he, essentially, he can't go on that trip because of how many behaviour points he's had. We're not going to use the fund for that." Now, at this stage, obviously, we went quite hell for leather on that one, because we said, you know, the whole reason that this child has a budget is because there will be an anticipation of behavioural issues. We fought it backwards and forwards, but unfortunately we didn't win, and they refused to accept him onto that trip. So that was a tough old time. This year we've started things and again got some of the same issues coming up, but I've taken a little bit more of a stronger stance now. I've gone to the school, I've met with the special educational needs coordinator, the head of year, and we've expressed to them that their systems are antiquated, their systems are broken, and that it's not little dude's fault, that their systems are incorrect. So from here on in, we no longer allow them to escalate a detention unless we have been told about it in the first place. We played quite passive and quite supportive for a number of years and found that actually we weren't getting anything back. So we've now taken on a lot more of a stricter stance and said we are in control. And since then, little dude has done his bit. He's been working really, really hard to knuckle down and focus on his studies, and he's started his options, so he's a lot more bought into it. but we've also been able to push back at the school. And I think this has been one of my biggest lessons that I've learned over the years, and that's you have the confidence, you need to have the confidence to fight back at the school if it's not going right. You need to have the confidence to say, I've tried to help, you're not listening, so now we're going to do it my way. Because ultimately, they have got thousands of kids that they've got to look after. You've got 1/2/3/ the Von Trapps. It's your job to be that advocate and to stand up and say, actually, our children are different. You get this fund because they're different. It's now time for you to treat them differently. And what I said to this Senko was, I don't want little dude to get a leg up. I don't want him to be given an opportunity to be in a better opportunity than any of his peers. I don't want that. What I do want is I want him on a level playing field with them. But to do that, you're going to have to give him a boost. You're going to have to treat him differently because he started differently. And you've got to give him this boost just to put him neck and neck with his peers. And that, I feel, is a reasonable request. I use the analogy, I said, right, let me ask you something. I said, you sign cards if a pupil is late for a lesson. Yes, absolutely. I said, okay, what happens if a pupil arrives late but they're on crutches? Do you still sign it? Well, of course we don't. That wouldn't be right. I said, no, it wouldn't. You're dealing with exactly the same thing. You just can't see my son's crutches. That he has got something that is holding him back, and it's making it really hard for him to compete with his peers. You need to give him a reasonable adjustment to allow him an even playing field. They listened, they sort of acknowledged that. That being said, little dude has just come home and told me that he got a detention last week, completely forgot about it, struggled to tell us, and that they are looking to escalate it. So I've explained that I will be coming back in and sorting that out as well. Now, I'm aware that I've highlighted a lot of the negatives here of what sort of has gone wrong. So it's really important to do the counter argument as well. A lot of the teaching staff have worked really, really hard to make reasonable adjustments and to do things to help little dude. There has been a number of different sort of suggestions and concepts that have come up to try and help little dude to sort of have an easier lesson, or like to find things easier. They came up with an idea of each day he's got like the school planner or the school diary or whatever, and at the back of this there are 4 coloured pages. What they said was they was going to disseminate the information across all teaching staff that if little dude was feeling like there was any struggle at all, he didn't have to identify what that struggle was. He just needed to know he was having a bit of a wobble. If he found that there was any issues at all, he would turn his book and turn it to the red page. He didn't have to say anything. He didn't have to put his hand up. He would just put the page. It was then the teacher's job to identify that he had done that, and then to go over and give him some time and say, right, do you need to leave the room? Do you need me to acknowledge you're here? And sometimes that's all he would need. He would just need an acknowledgement that they had seen him. That was a concept that they put in place to help him to try and regulate himself and manage himself within lessons. I thought it was an absolutely amazing idea. Little dude used it for like a half a term, maybe a term. He also really appreciated it and found it helpful. So that was really, really good. They've worked really hard to acknowledge some of his external work as well, and to find ways to praise him and elevate him, and give him different responsibilities. We've spoken about where he should be sat in a classroom, And this is something for you to consider as well. A placement in a room can actually affect our children quite considerably. So if you imagine you've got a square room, and in one corner you've got the door, along one wall you've got a window, and then the other two walls are fine, and then you've got rows of seats. That's just, we're going to picture that as our classroom. If you put little dude, or a lot of our adopted children, if you put them right at the front with loads of kids behind them, but the other side of the room from the door and next to the windows, that is essentially the worst placement that you can give our children. Because what happens is their mind goes into turmoil, they are too far away from the exit, and hold on, could someone come through there? How will I get out of there? Then they've got this window next to them. Who's behind me? What's happening behind me? Now they've got all these kids behind them as well. What are they doing? What are they saying? I need to turn and face them, because at any moment danger could find me. So for our kids, that's actually a really scary place and a really scary environment. So we need to help manage that. If, however, you decide to put our child at the back of the class on the wall opposite the window but facing the door, that, again, is a really positive place for them, because they're far enough away from the door they can see anyone coming in and leaving, and they can react to that problem. They have their back to the wall, so no one is going to come from behind them, so they don't have to turn around. They look past the window, so they can see who's coming through the window. So again, they can have access to where a threat might be coming from. That's when you'll find that their concentration can be the highest. All that has to go in tandem with that is the teacher needs to ensure that they acknowledge and engage with our children, not frequently, but semi-frequently. And they need to get that engagement level in to help them. That's when our children tend to thrive. So again, the school are really good to listen to that and encourage that where possible. The challenge of education will go up and down and whatnot, and over these three episodes, I hope that you've seen that there's been quite a balanced approach to what we've experienced and what we've seen. And what I cannot stress enough is I think that teachers are amazing. The job that they do is breathtaking when they do it well. And to be a good teacher, I think, is a really difficult thing to do. It's one of the hardest jobs in the world. I imagine one of the most rewarding as well, when you get it right. I imagine that must be such a wonderful job to do. I feel that I personally put an awful lot of pressure on teachers to perform their best, because for me, they've got one shot at getting it right with my son. I can't afford for second best. So I hold them in high esteem. I hold them in to a high standard. I don't think that's an unacceptable thing for a parent to do. What I've always done, without fail, is I've always offered full support to each school that we've worked with. The current school that we're in, I have said, let me help you. You do not have an app to tell me about homework for these children. How am I supposed to step in and ensure that my son is keeping up to date with his homework? Let me manage things at home. Tell me about detention. I'll make sure he's there. I will step in and be the supporting arm. Whatever message is happening at school, I will deliver at home. If you're working with me, the parent, and still things aren't working, I'm not going to be marching down to the school and yelling at the teacher for not doing their job. I might ask for a meeting so as we can look at different ways to help, but ultimately I'm not there to be a thorn in their side. But if I offer support and it's not, if it's not taken up and things go wrong, then yes, I'm going to hold you to high standards. And I think it's just about that. I think it's with our sort of situation, and when looking at adopted children, you've got to offer that support. You've got to offer to help out. And if you're not doing your bit, you can't ask the school to do theirs. But if you are doing your bit, school aren't doing theirs, then you need to have the confidence to take it as far as you need to take it to say that that's not the acceptable level. And you need to fight for our children because that's what they need. So what I would say is, and stress, is give the school a chance, ask the right questions, feel confident to push back and say if something does not sit right, but don't apply pressure to them unless you're doing your bit as well. So that would be my views. I hope that you found this three-part episode helpful. I hope you found it interesting. As always, if you've got any questions, if you want to ask us anything, you can find us on social media. The links are usually in the sort of episode blog. But for all intents and purposes, Facebook and Instagram, we are adoption.adventures. On Twitter, we are @AdoptionAdvent1, and you can get us on email at adoptionadventures123@gmail.com. Again, I'll put all of those in the bio. But I love hearing from people. I love hearing some questions and some feedback come through. I've got a listener that I've been talking to that I'm hoping will be a guest soon, which is really, really cool. And I've also been asked a couple of questions recently and said that I would be doing an episode on them. So I've got a couple of really nice episodes coming up, hopefully. But keep those questions coming in because that's what keeps us moving forward, and keeps it growing. So thank you as always for tuning in and having a listen. Hope you've had a fantastic, since it's a Monday, I'm going to say I hope you had a fantastic weekend and I hope you're looking forward to the week ahead. But it all depends on when you're listening. But thank you again, and I will speak to you next week.